now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily.
Welcome back in, everybody, for another hour of Sports Daily. Glad to be with you here. Chiefs talk tonight on KFH, 6 o'clock, the Chiefs Kingdom Show. Should be the finale there. Tune in to 97.5, 1240 at 6 for that show. Listen online, kfhradio.com, or download the free Odyssey app and search KFH. Also, we should get, I think, Dan Patrick's back. We had the show a little bit last week. I think he's back today. So you get that true Dan Patrick to Jim Rome. Sports radio legendary block of programming right after we finish up being knuckleheads here on Sports Daily each and every day into the new year. So looking forward to that. That's coming up. We'll have football talk this hour. Certainly talk NFL, probably talk a little CFP. TJ's got his Royals hoodie on. Probably won't today get to the news that Matt Quatraro has been extended, but we'll get to that later this week, if not today. It's kind of a broader look at some things today as we make our way through. Whatever we do get to is on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Dub Event Venue at WBC Delano. Perfect for graduation parties, meetings, reunions. Visit wichitabrew.com to begin your booking at the Dub Event Venue at WBC Delano, where groups gather. Thanks to Paul Mills for stopping by. If you missed anything with Shocker head coach, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Could you imagine, TJ? We came into this Monday, Shocker's 2-0, two road wins in the conference. Like, it was all right there. It was all right there. I still can't figure out how they lost that game.
I talked to Rachel about this in the office yesterday. I was back home on Saturday at my parents' house and just kind of casually watching some basketball, watched a little K-State, had the Shockers on. And then we left and went to dinner, and I was like, man, like, Kenyon Giles is lighting him up. Like, he's playing great. And, like, people are texting me, like, Giles is nuts. Like, this dude is so good. This is so awesome. And then I just see my phone keep buzzing while I'm sitting at dinner, and it's like, man, Giles. And it's like, oh, my gosh, Boyd. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, what? Are they winning by 60? What's going on? And then I looked. I'm like, they lost that game. I left, and they were up by 20. What are you talking about? They lost that game.
Yeah, it's not.
Literally, like, if you rolled that out, if you took it from when they were up 18 points and rolled it out 100 times, they win it 99, probably 99.9. Like, the amount of perfect things that had to happen for Charlotte to do what they did is unbelievable.
Yeah. It's, It doesn't make sense to be like, I don't even know how to make sense.
If you're ever, anybody's ever bored today, go to Twitter X and go look up Taylor Eldridge, because he's a real film junkie. He broke down all the significant moments, and it's like made up how many in a row within like a 2-minute stretch. It was like Wichita State blown coverage, wide open corner three, Wichita State foul from 94 feet away. It's like, what?
That's the thing. You got to just focus in. That's why I asked, Coach Mills, like, how does the team handle these things? And I think, well, I think we've assumed well. It's good to hear them say well, because that's back to the original point, very, very beginning of the show. In reality, hopefully, this game is nothing more than teaching moments, because it will not make or break what happens to them as far as the NCAA tournament goes. Nothing that happens in the American from a wins and loss perspective is going to impact, unless you're looking at whether the seeding of the conference tournament has an impact. They're going to have to win the conference tournament to get in. But in order to win the conference tournament, they have to figure out how to eliminate these stretches of games where it all just falls apart, because it happens in almost every big game. And we'll see if they can get it done. I mean, hell, the UAB game is great, but it's a huge comeback.
Exactly. Like, no, the Charlotte game was just inverse of every other game of the year. Yeah. Like, yeah. Usually they get punched first. This time they got punched last.
Yep. So they got some work to do. All the basketball teams have some work to do. Let's talk a little football. The NFL teams, no more.
Yeah. Did you know the Chiefs played yesterday? We haven't talked about them for a second.
There has never been a less meaningful Chiefs game in the decade plus that I've been here covering the Chiefs. There has never been a more meaningful Chiefs game. Chiefs game than the one we saw yesterday.
I can't believe that Kingsley Suamataia hurdling a linebacker at the end of the game isn't viral. Like, how has nobody gotten that video out yet? Like, it is. I literally stood up and screamed when I saw that happen. I was like,
Yeah, I saw that one live. I was not watching that game live. I'm not a masochist. I had Red Zone on, kind of bouncing around, doing some things. And it's every time they got to the Chiefs game, I feel like it was a shot of Travis Kelce. Every single time that it came to that game, like, people don't think, like, people thought the Taylor Swift shots got out of control. Like, they had to have a Kelce cam. And I'm just like, guys, like, he has not announced he's retiring yet. He didn't announce it after the game. He didn't make it clear. Chris Jones said he's not gonna. Travis Kelce at no point has said, yeah, I think this might be it. He's got an expiring contract. This was kind of a run it back year. I've said this a billion times. Like, he's still good. Like, if he is ready to ride off into the sunset of his movie career, like, he's still a really good football player. I'd love to have him.
It's pretty unreal that he's still third in receiving yards, a tight end. And, like, I couldn't tell you a game that he had over 50 this year. Like, it.
Well, that's just, he's, you know, there aren't a lot of tight ends that do that anyway. But yeah, he drops more passes than he used to. No question. He's still one of the most pretty. Could you have imagined that offense this year without him? I mean, it would have been awful.
It was awful.
Right. But it'd have been awfuler.
That's the biggest thing I keep telling everybody is that, like, you just have to think, like, what's the replacement? Like, how much better is he than Noah Gray? You know, like, how much better is he if they got Kyle Pitts? That's the one that everybody always talked about forever. Like, that's the thing.
If you could, if they could somehow get Kelce to come back and play on a small contract, it'd be incredible. It'd be an amazing
whatever they do, they will. It's going to be a Kelce type. Like, they aren't going to go get a blocker, you know? Like,
they got to change their offense anyway. They've got to
stuff. They do so much stuff for their tight end. They're going to get somebody that's going to catch passes.
I hope, and I would love to be wrong about this, but I don't think I am. Mahomes will miss Kelce an enormous deal. Like, he will, like, that, not having that, you know, kindred spirit where they just are always in each other's brains of where to be when a play breaks down. Like, that is so much a part of what Patrick Mahomes does to not have, because Kelce never misses games, right? It's not like Kelce's ever unavailable. Kelce's always there. That's a huge loss for Mahomes. And if they can figure out a way to get Kelce back, it would be a great way to start the offseason.
I've gone so back and forth. Like, not really, because I've really been, he's always going to retire. Like, that's my thinking the entire year. And, like, the way, if they were good, then I think that I would have feel pretty confident that he would come back. But, like, it's a lot harder to come back from the first decision of coming back after you're losing the Super Bowl to the coming back after you just lost six straight games to end the year. Like, I understand the whole thing about a sour taste in your mouth, but, like, especially if Patrick Mahomes isn't going to be there in the first couple weeks, maybe, like, I don't think you can get him back after. Like, I don't think he's going to still. But I mean, his comments yesterday were the most that he's ever talked about it outside of the podcast, obviously,
because he doesn't talk. Yeah,
yeah. But, like, I mean, his comments kind of make you think that the door is actually open and there is a decision to make. I don't think he knows yet.
His brother, he and his brother love football as much as anybody's ever loved football. His brother physically had to stop. At the age Travis is now, Travis physically does not have to stop. That's been my thing with it. I don't know what's in his head, but watching the player physically, he is still way productive enough to be a big time NFL player. So it's not a physical thing with him, right? He can physically get it done. With his brother, it seemed to be. These guys love football. And I know Travis Kelce's 36 years old. We're watching Rodgers out there a decade older. And I know it's different positions, so that's not my point. My point is, sometimes guys just love football and they don't want to stop doing it. Like, you only get to do this for so long. This guy loves football. He can still do it. you're just going to walk away from that? That would be hard to do. That would be really hard. Because once you're done, like, that's it. You can't ever do it again. Ever. You can go be in movies and TV. You can go do that for the next 40. That career will be significantly longer than your playing career. You only, like, there's a timer on this thing. So physically, I think he's still good enough. I think it still makes sense for the Chiefs to have him because they have Mahomes. And if you can get him to come play for like a regular, reasonable contract, hell yeah, you'd want that back. Now the ball's in his court and he'll decide. I don't think anybody knows. I will say that maybe Mahomes.
What's your lean right now?
60-40 retirement. 60-40 retirement.
I'd say I'm about there, yeah. Maybe 70.
But I think it's not a nothing for him to come back.
Yeah.
At all. All right, we'll come back. We'll ask Josh Briscoe what he thinks about it and the offseason and where to attack and all of those things. We return on Sports Daily.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we welcome you back in, and we welcome in Joshua Briscoe, Chiefs Insider, Chiefs Radio Network, at JB Briscoe on X. That's it. We were just in the last, I've been covering the Chiefs for, I don't know, 11 or 12 years, something like that now. I don't know that I've seen a more meaningless game than the one we saw. So they did find a way to make it meaningful with the late long field goal and the draft position and the Kingsley Suamataia a hurdle play. Like there was, you know, the end was at least entertaining, but man, that game just like, I couldn't find it yesterday. I just couldn't find the motivation.
I mean this when I say it, I really do. I can get worked up for preseason football. You give me a long off season, you give me training camp, and you give me a chance to see the rookies in the uniform for the first time. Man, I'm going to get there. I really am. I have done pregame and postgame shows for preseason games, for, you know, obviously heaps of regular season games. I can get there. Man, yesterday was weird. Yesterday was not beautiful football. Not a good way to keep the good vibes going for Chris Oladokun. Good for Shane Buechele getting in there and slinging it a little bit. But no, I think, and I know this is tough because myself included, nobody wants to end the season with losses to the Broncos and Raiders at the end of a year that was already deeply frustrating. So I am not telling any fans that they need to be happy that the Chiefs ended the season that way. But the fact that all of that frustration and disappointment led to the number 9 overall pick instead of leading to the number 11 overall pick, that really might be the difference between pick your draft crush being there and not being there. That 9, 10, 11 cutoff is looking pretty important when you kind of see where those players fall. So that was a silver lining. I wish I could disagree with you, though. I mean, I like to think I brought game day effort for pre and post game, but the actual game itself was not a terribly fun watch.
The people kept asking me yesterday, is it, how are you going to frame these highlights to make people not want to turn their TV off? I'm going to say, I'm going to give them no context and tell them it's the Super Bowl. And it was a great game down the stretch. Defensive battle, let me tell you. Kingsley hurdling a guy is the coolest thing I've ever seen, by the way. We can't gloss over that. It is insane. We'll do a little bit of a post-mortem now that it is officially over before we dig into what happens next for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm curious your thoughts. I keep pulling out this, this analogy. If you roll this out 100 times, how many times did the Chiefs go 6-11 this year?
Oh, that is kind of fun. I mean, you end the season on a six-game losing streak, probably like 2 out of 100 times. I mean, that feels extraordinarily unlikely. The thing that I really haven't thought about it in those terms, so I'm thinking out loud here, because I do think the end result and picking 9 and going 6-11 and all of that, that feels like a 10% of the outcomes kind of deal. I do think, though, it would be leaning a little bit too hard into the randomness to not also grapple with the fact that last year was also a 10% outcome. Last year was a 10% positive outcome. This might have been a 10% negative outcome. You include Patrick Mahomes tearing his ACL with a few weeks left in the season, and it's like, it's hard to come up with worse seasons than that when you're thinking about the future there as well. But I do think, the hard truth of the middle of the bell curve here was that the Chiefs were going to be a fringe battle for it playoff team that gets there and then maybe makes something happen. But I think we watched this team over the course of this year enough that even at full health, we know where their deficiencies were. We know that I watched the ever-loving heck out of that Sunday Night Football game last night. At one point, Chris Collinsworth mentioned, if the Ravens don't make the playoffs, or if they make it and they exit early, it's going to be because they don't have a guy in the pass rush. And I was thinking, man, if the Ravens defense is getting those kind of disclaimers this last game of the season, Patrick Mahomes gives you a chance to win the Super Bowl by being on your roster. And they have coaches who have obviously been there and won it what feels like now a lot of times. They had some of those pieces that gave me real optimism before the season. And obviously I thought they'd win the division and I thought they'd be a playoff team. No question about that. But I do think now, with the benefit of hindsight, this is on the very low end of what could have happened this year. But I do think that the problems we saw were real, and they got unlucky. Might be the more concise way to say what I've been trying to say for the last several minutes.
Yeah, look, I think that's fair. And I think it's also fair to say the problems have been real for a while, and they got lucky.
Yep.
For a lot of seasons here. I think this year is fascinating for so many reasons, but to me, because what does it mean for next year? Right. And I've seen others say this, and I've thought about this a lot. Is this the break it down and not start over because you've got Mahomes? But is it the big breakdown, or, as Kelsey hasn't given an official decision on all these things, is this thing salvageable to still make a run? We know Andy Reid's coming back. What if Kelsey did come back? Can they tinker enough? The draft is obviously critically important, but how much do they need to reset here? Or not.
Obviously, the Kelsey piece is a huge part of it, because when you talk about, I'm trying not to use the buzzword I want to get to here. When you talk about this period of time for teams resetting, if you will, we talk about resetting, retooling, and then the big one is rebuilding. This isn't going to be a rebuild. The rebuild is what you do when you're hiring a new head coach, maybe a new GM, definitely a new quarterback. The Chiefs aren't rebuilding. I think it's time to remodel. I think that's the word that I'm kind of latching into, is that the foundation is there. You're keeping most of the walls. A lot of the load-bearing beams are still in place. Although Travis Kelce leaving would definitely change that analogy. You would lose a load-bearing beam in this home. But ultimately, I think it's time to remodel the bathroom. I think it's time to remodel the kitchen. You love the house, and several of the rooms are perfectly fine as they are. You got the offensive line remodeled last year. You just need all the pieces to show up next year, and you're going to be just fine on the offensive offensive line. But I think that there needs to be some remodeling where the running back room is going to look very different. Are the coaching staff turnover that we've talked about, are those changes going to happen? What is the wide receiver room going to look like? I think there is talent in that room. There's also a lot of guys not under contract in that room. They're going to have to make a big decision about Rashee Rice one way or the other here pretty soon. So I think that's the headspace that I'm in, where you do need real tangible changes and evolutions here. But I think to say it's anything more than a retooling or a remodeling is forgetting who the quarterback and the head coach are. So I do think it's going to be certainly an attempt to remodel on the fly and be there at the top of the division for next year. And the Chargers had a very impressive year. Here's a hot take for you guys in our final chat of the 2025 season. I'm more impressed with what the Chargers did this year than I was with the Broncos did this year, because the Chargers just got there without their two top shelf elite offensive tackles, and they did it with a lot of the year without all three of their top three tackles. And I'm just counting the days until the Broncos have a disappointing playoff exit, even with the first round bye. I just couldn't believe in anything less. So all that to say that the division is a lot better, and that's going to hold. What Justin Herbert has shown and what Harbaugh has done for that team, that's real. The Broncos are going to be annoying. I just don't think they're going to win anything meaningful. But I do think that they intend on being right there back in the mix next year. I think that is reasonable, too.
I want to dig deeper into the Travis Kelce conversation, because yesterday it was really the only thing that made it nationally relevant, as we had the Kelce cam on for the entire game we just brought up in the last segment. We saw more Travis Kelce than we ever have in a football game yesterday, because nobody knows if it's his last one or not. He talked about it, and it felt like it was the first time that he's like truly like – not giving you the buzzword retirement answers. And, you know, the way that he spoke about it makes you feel like, I don't think he knows what he's going to do.
I know it sounds kind of crazy, and I kind of roll my eyes a little bit when Andy said at the podium, like, yeah, I know we just haven't talked about it. Kelce, what is his contract up? It's like, I don't think Andy Reid has an answer from Travis Kelce, to be clear. I think I'm with you. I almost have to believe that Kelsey's telling the truth when he says, hey, man, I'm going to figure it out now. I am singularly focused through this football season. I am playing as if I will have no regrets if this is how it ends for me. I'm paraphrasing now, of course. But I'm going to play as if this could be the end, because I want to put my best effort out there anyway. And this is like a terribly, this is a huge stretch of a metaphor. But like, I was doing the post-game show last night, like it's the last time I'm ever doing post-game, because you just don't know. You just don't know what the future holds. You want to put out a good effort. If you're not, you go, all right, well, this is the end of a chapter at least. This is at least the end of the 2025 season. So with all of that out there, I do think it's interesting how hard Chris Jones has just leaned in and like, no, he's coming back. I don't know, but he'll be there. And Nate Taylor of ESPN and one of my co-hosts over on Only Weird Games, he talked, I think it was after the Titans game, I believe, where he said he looked over. It might have been Thanksgiving, but I think it was after the Titans game. In the locker room, he looked over and Clark Hunt was talking to Travis Kelce in the locker room. And Nate was obviously, you know, in the way that only he can, kind of filling in some of the gaps and being like, Travis, you love this, right? You'll miss this if you don't play next year. Come on back.
That's a good Nate Taylor impression.
I would have gone to a higher register, but I didn't know if your viewers and listeners were ready for that register on your show yet. You got to build a tolerance. Not a tolerance to Nate. Easy man to love. Can be a tough man to listen to once you get into the dog territory there. But I really do think it makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs to say, Trav, you don't want to go out like that, right? Like, you don't want the last guy who ever throws you a pass in the NFL to be not Chris Oladokun, but Shane Buechele, who, by the way, it seems like they have like a good relationship. No shade to any of them. They're not Patrick Mahomes. Like, your guy wasn't there. And this season was just so disappointing on so many levels. He obviously has plenty to give. He obviously could be a real, I guess, number two weapon on this offense next year. I don't want him to be that high in the pecking order. I didn't want him to be the number one option this year and last year. But that's not his fault, right? Like, this is something else. I'll shout out Seth Kaiser, also from Only Weird Games, where he says, look, if Kelce steps away, it's not all bad, because it forces the Chiefs into that next era of retooling of how do we play offense without Travis Kelce? And my like slight pushback on that is that they still could have figured that out these last 2 years. But there were injuries last year, and so you just kind of build the entire plane out of, what, 60, 6 years of age of Kareem Hunt and Patrick and Travis Kelce last year. You build the plane out of them last season. You come into this year and you want Rashee Rice to take the baton from Travis Kelce. He's not out there the first six games. He doesn't really ever take the baton fully in that time between. They still need to have an answer, regardless of what Kelce does. They need to have an answer for what is the offense without Travis Kelce. But if he does want to come back and do this one more time, man, I would be very, very grateful for another season of that. I'm very, very grateful to have seen as much of Travis Kelce as we already have.
I love your pushback on that. I couldn't agree more. It's not Travis Kelce's fault that he's been leaned on too much at this stage of his career. What is he going to do? Not run a route? Not right. be open? Right? Like, that's not his problem. The fact that he is still the number two option in the offense, and a lot of times this year is number one, it's absolutely out of necessity. And so, like, just to pull that away and be so ready and willing to pull that away because what? Because he drops a few more passes than he has before? He's still the third most productive tight end in football this year as a receiver.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, what is Mahomes without Kelce? And I think that is a fair question that never gets asked. Yeah. Mahomes wasn't awesome this year, not by his own standard, right? He was maybe a slight step back. Like, what is he without Kelce? We don't know that answer. I don't want to find it out yet as somebody who watches the team, because Kelsey's still plenty good. I agree with you. Run the ball a little bit more. Don't focus so much on Kelce in the offense. But quite frankly, does Mahomes know how to not focus on Kelce so much in the offense? And that's going to be a hard lesson to learn if it's one we have to learn at some point.
Yep. And at some point we will have to see what that looks like. If that's 2026, 2027 or whatever. I feel good about Mahomes' ability to answer that question when it arrives, but we haven't answered it yet, which again, that also not Mahomes' fault, that Travis Kelce's ageless, right? Like that pairing is as incredible as it's been. Let's keep that together. Just to illustrate the point, I don't have this updated with yesterday's snap counts yet, but last year, Travis Kelce played 84% of the Chiefs' offensive snaps. This year, not including yesterday, he's played 81%, and I think he played more than 81% yesterday, so I think that number might rise a little bit, call it 81, 82%. Those were the highest numbers of highest percentages of snap counts he's had since he played 82% in 2021 and 86% in 2020. He's in the 90s before that. But last year was a workload increase over the last four seasons prior. And again, that's out of necessity, but that would have still been necessary without him. And they don't win the Super Bowl, or excuse me, they don't get to the Super Bowl last year without Travis Kelce. I don't know what they do going forward without him. Again, if you'd seen the bright, shining star of Rashee Rice continue to rise this year, if you would have seen him really kind of take over in the way that we hoped he might be able to take over, all of this feels a little bit easier because there's an easy answer for Patrick Mahomes in the offense. Hey, you can just always find Rashee Rice. He's going to get you 8 yards, and if he breaks a tackle, he's going to get you 20. Hey, Xavier Worthy, if you find him down the sideline, you're going to have chunk plays at your fingertips as often as you find him. Hey, Tyquan Thornton looked pretty good. Same offer to him. But ultimately, none of those things, Hollywood Brown in the intermediate, none of those things came to fruition in the fashion that you would have needed to see them to really believe that you're ready for the post-Travis Kelce era.
Josh, we're going to talk a lot in the coming months up until April, and I'm sure we'll talk to you about it one time as we get ready for the draft. But in the 3 minutes we have left in this segment, are they taking a running back or a pass rusher or something else?
I've got a couple chips on something else, TJ. I have
you
been
a wide
so...
receiver. We're hanging up right now.
I'll talk to you guys later then, I guess.
No way. I knew he does.
Cardinal, we haven't spent enough time together yet, Jacob. I always want another wide receiver. Look, they have to address running back. I am not saying going the next year with the same running back room. But if you go ahead, I can talk about Breece Hall here and have the hometown crowd, right?
Yeah,
hey, look, if it's Breece Hall and a day three draft pick, if it's Tyler Algier and a day two draft pick at running back, I'm willing to kind of build the boat in a different fashion at running back. Jeremiah Love's a great player. I'm not holding my nose in the Jeremiah Love conversation. You just have so few opportunities to get a blue chip game changing player at number 9 overall here. and if either of those two wide receivers are there, or I think either of those top two pass rushers are there, that's where I would go. And frankly, I might actually go pass rusher over wide receiver, but I am so interested in the specifics of these players. And I've got months of catch up to play here as well, but do you need to have octopus arms for Steve Spagnuolo, or is great college film enough to be worthy of a top 10 pick in this defense? I think the thing they needed the most this year was pass rush. And if you have a chance to solve that at 9, I would be perfectly happy with that. But I've also been wanting to hear the commissioner say, with the whatever pick in the draft, the Chiefs select whoever, wide receiver Ohio State, because that's always a good answer. And I want that, and I want that big X outside wide receiver in this offense. You talk about moving on from Travis Kelce. That would be an evolution of the offense to get a Carnell Tate type out on the outside that Patrick Mahomes can lean on in a way he's never leaned on a wide receiver. Not in terms of just general usage, but that body type, that build. So I am going defensive line and wide receiver are my tier one needs and values in that top 10 pick. If it's Jeremiah Love, it'll be Jeremiah Love, and we'll I'm sure I'll have a lovely time with that. But if it is him, he has to be Bijan Robinson. Like that is the expectation. He can't be a top 12 running back in the NFL. He's got to be top 3. And that's a tough thing for a young running back to be. I'm sorry I offended you so much, Jacob. I've had a great time with you guys this year. I didn't want to end on such a sour note.
We're going to go find the new insider.
I just, you know, how many years in a row can you spend top 2-3 round picks on receivers, I guess?
Let's do it.
They're going to need a corner or two. We're going to have to do this again because now we just opened a whole can of worms. We will at some point. Josh, we appreciate it all year. We'll get you in here from time to time to discuss some of these things. We appreciate it greatly.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me all season. We'll chat again soon.
Oh, man. There's going to be so much to get to with the Chiefs in this offseason, and we'll have lots of time to have it, far more than we normally do, a month more than we normally do. We appreciate Joshua Briscoe's visits all year long. We'll get him in a little bit in the offseason to discuss some of these things. The beauty of pick 9 and the beauty of that Daniel Carlson 60-yard field goal is pick 9 gives you a chance at a really good player. And while I would prefer them not go a receiver again, if Ja'Marr Chase is sitting there,
fine. I know.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't like getting that high in the draft, which even as Mahomes got hurt, seemed like a little bit of a pipe dream, right? That they would be able to get that high into the draft. You really just the most important thing is to not screw it up. Right. You haven't had a chance to take your Mahomes, Kelce, Jones, whatever, Creed, Humphrey, Trey Smith. Like, it has to be that kind of hit, whatever it is. And then you sort it out later. If you end up with a position that's not necessarily a need, but it's a Pro Bowler every year, like, who's going to be mad at that?
No, I mean, you can make an argument for every single position on the field because there is a need at every single, like Hollywood Brown is on expiring deal. Like you can make an argument. They could draft any position.
Thing they don't need.
Correct. That's it. Like there is an opening everywhere on the field.
Everywhere. So just don't mess the pick up. Get the pick right. Stop. Yeah. They have not had a good history of drafting for need. I mean, let's be honest. Drafting for need has been a not good thing for the Chiefs over the years, outside of this year, we hope, with Josh Simmons. Although, even if he wasn't a need to fall in that far, they're probably taking him anyway. So we'll see. There's a lot of time to think about that. There's less time for now 14 other teams that don't have anything to worry about other than their next playoff game. So yesterday was... Not only was it like it was the most difficult, I think, to get up for a Chiefs game that I felt in about 12 years. That was as bad a week 18 as I can remember.
There was like three good games, basically.
Nothing of ultra significance. We got the one game on Saturday, which was a play-in game that wasn't actually a play-in game. But we didn't know that at the time, so it was fine. And then yesterday, obviously, Sunday Night Football.
That Seahawks game was significant.
It's a seeding game. It's a seeding game, right? It's fine. Like, there were seeding games yesterday, but as far as like, I can't miss that.
Saints Falcons was a play-in game for other team. That was fun. I watched that game.
It was I don't know. I was now, and then you get to Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Sunday Night Football is awesome.
It was good.
I am in this weird place. I don't know. I can't even describe to people. Every fiber of my being would rather have the Ravens in the postseason than the Steelers. I like Lamar Jackson. I love Derrick Henry. Like, all their players, I like a whole lot more. And I cannot quit finding myself fascinated and sort of pulling for this Aaron Rodgers, Mike Tomlin story. And I don't like Aaron Rodgers.
I know.
He's fun to watch. I like the player. I don't like the holding the league hostage the last few years and all of those things. But I do really like Mike Tomlin, as much as I don't particularly like the Steelers. And there, throw the bird to the world. Like, it's been really hard for me not to like get invested in that.
Like, and I'm with you. Aaron Rodgers made 99% of the country dislike him, basically, during
is great. Sports villains are great.
Yeah. Everything that's happened over the last, half decade with Aaron Rodgers has made the country kind of turn on him. And then this year, you're like, oh, I got to watch another year Aaron Rodgers. He's going to the Pittsburgh. What's this going to – and then, like, you see the video of him last night of, like, doing the post-game interview with Stark and then, like, walking to the locker room. And he's, like, grinning like a little kid. And you're like – man, I'm kicking my feet. This is awesome. He's 42 years old. He's going to the pool. This is cool. Like, I'm rooting for Aaron Rodgers. Like, it has been a 180 of emotion about Aaron Rodgers. And like, I am with you. I think that like the casual fan is going to be pulling for the Steelers because they want to say, can Aaron Rodgers do this again? There's no way, right? He's 42.
And he is. And here they are. And he's making big plays yesterday. That game last night was stupid. Missed extra point, missed field goal. Like, what on earth were we watching there? That was just a very bizarre set of circumstances. It was by far the most interesting thing that happened in the NFL yesterday, in my opinion. It was very no offense to Kingsley Suamataya's hurdle play, which I was also heavily invested in. You're not alone in that. I was fascinated by that.
I love that the broadcast, like, it was Kyle Long, former Chief, who was on the call. As we got that CBS crew, like, they were kind of like putting a bow on it, and they're like, one final play could be the last play of Travis Kelce's career. Let's see what the Chiefs have. They're looking for something, blah 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 blah. And then that happens, and both of them are just, oh my gosh, he hurdled him. It's like, that play means nothing, but it was the coolest thing that anybody's ever seen.
It was pretty awesome. I kept thinking, like, he's going to return this. He's going to score a touchdown and cost him a draft. I don't know what the alternative was. Like, it was either ninth pick.
I think it was nine or 10.
But I'm pretty sure. If it was 10, it's like, come on, man. But that was fun. So real quick today, because when we'll get more into this tomorrow, but it's hard to come in on a Monday after the CFP has played out and not at least get some take on it. We'll have a longer discussion about the buy thing. I have for 2 years now just been floored at that. I hope 1 in 5 changes it, just in general. Like, these teams that have the long buys to me, and I don't know if this speaks to how good Indiana is. I think it probably does. Yeah. And to how well coached they are, but it is clearly a disadvantage to those teams. But it's one that you want because it means you don't have to play the game the week before to get there. Just play them sooner. It's too long.
Yeah, but it is the easiest fix.
It needs to switch, and I hope it will with 16 games. I mean, it were 16 teams because you just I just would rather not have a bye, I think, at this point.
I mean, yeah, that's what 16 teams will fix, is that you'll eliminate the byes and you get.
But I still think you got to play them sooner.
I'm with you on that too. It does start too. I mean, it needs to be the week after conference championships.
But let me. But I think the better point for this is, you go back to mid-August. And we have the conversations with everyone that says, oh, 12 teams are too many. It doesn't really matter. And I would love to have a quick conversation with everybody in that camp and tell them, okay, well, the final four this year is going to be Miami, Ole Miss, Oregon, and Indiana. You kidding me?
I mean, It's I understand the argument. I mean, not that argument, but three there is an argument.
Three of the four teams would not there, have been there.
I know, but there's an argument that, to be made about, like, man, like, you let Miami get beat by Louisville and they're in your Final Four. You know, like, at what point? Like,
yeah, they earned it.
I mean, they did, based on how it is now. But I mean, it really I don't know what the word is, de-incentivizes the regular season.
It does not. Not in the moment. Think about that exact same philosophy in any other sport that you watch.
I know.
We were just saying how interesting it is that the Steelers are in.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, was Sunday Night Football less interesting because we don't do that with any other sport. We pick the one where nobody plays anything close to the same schedule, where it's the most exclusive to get into the playoff to begin with. We pick that one to say, oh, well, but the regular season doesn't mean as much. None of these teams played the same teams.
It's hard. I don't know. I'm with you, but I think that there is a legit argument to be made on the fact of, like, and it's different. I agree that every other playoff doesn't follow that same standard, but in a sport where there's 130 teams, like, it had, like,
well, the answer to that is to expand it to even more playoff teams, which I get. But, nobody wants.
But it also, I know, but it also gives the chance of, like, K-State could have, Texas Tech's a bad example because they were in, but who did BYU lose to? I don't even remember. KU last year. BYU was going to be a playoff team, and KU had the opportunity. They went to Provo and beat them and knocked them out. And, like, that's what the argument is, that, like, to make the season still significant for others that aren't going to be in the 12, basically. But I don't know. Football's good, and I like watching more football games, and that's what it really boils down to. I'm fine with expanding.
I think we'd be more invested in the CFP if it started sooner. It's just you have to wait too long for it. I think I use the term as that, like, we overthink college football. Don't have a bye, play home games or not. Who really cares? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, just the end result should always be about finding the best team at the end of the season, not who was the best team in week 8, not who was the best team in week 1. Who is earned and become the best team in college football. We have chances to see, you know, Indiana's kind of wire to wire had a case, right? Ole Miss is a fantastic story. Miami is a fantastic story. You know, Oregon's there. Oregon, I don't know if Oregon should be the favorite in this thing because of the experience, but, like, just look at these four teams and all the different paths that these teams have taken to get to this point. And let it remind you that getting to a championship comes in all kinds of different ways. And in every other sport we watch, including other college sports, including college football at other levels, we let this thing organically happen. And we have these great stories develop over time. We have limited ourselves forever in Division I college football of giving ourselves these incredible stories to get to a championship. And I'm very glad, as sad as I am, that the Big 12 is not represented in these final four teams. I'm very glad that we have four teams here. One of them. If you polled 100 insiders, those insiders, I'll bet you 90% of them had one of these teams being in the final four. And it's Oregon. That's it. Maybe Ole Miss if you had an SEC hump.
What are you talking about? Indiana's the best team in the country.
No, I'm saying before the season started.
I'm mean,
before okay. the season started. Not late in the season. Indiana's a wagon. Indiana's clearly the best team. I'm talking about back in August if you have that question. Oregon would be the only one. And it's awesome that we've allowed ourselves a chance to get to these four teams. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, though. All right, that does it for us here on Sports Daily. Again, you can go back and listen for free on the Odyssey app. If you missed anything, Paul Mills chatted in the first hour, Joshua Briscoe on the Chiefs. Great conversations. You can find both of those on demand through the Odyssey app. We will have Wyatt Thompson in tomorrow to talk a little K-State. Nothing major with college basketball tonight, but we get right back at it. I love conference season, TJ, because most nights here now, we're going to have games in conference play, and that's the bet.
I got to get to bed early tonight. We got the late one for KU tomorrow, so that's going to draw our attention. No Monday Night Football tonight. I'm going to go to bed at 7 o'clock tonight.
I am with you on that. But we'll be back here tomorrow, ready to rock and roll. We'll get more into this college football thing and in the NFL playoffs as well. So plenty of time to do it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. For Max, for TJ, I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.